This is at L6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, with the official broadcast for August 2010. Tonight, presidential comment, a newsline update, a headquarters report, and news from Waro. That and more on tonight's NZART official broadcast. Good evening, everyone. Presenting the broadcast, I'm Jim Meachins at L2BHF in Auckland. To New Plymouth we go first, and it's a very good evening to NZRT President Roy Simon, ZL2KH. Roy?
Thank you, Jim, and good evening, listeners. The time is fast coming when members can exercise a couple of their democratic rights regarding our association. The returning officer will soon be calling for nominations for president and councillors. It is a very healthy sign when there are elections necessary for every position. Also, if there is an election, the successful candidate knows they have the support of a majority. Another very healthy sign is a high percentage of members voting. In the past few elections, this percentage has been low and could indicate a lack of interest. When you receive the voting papers, please fill them in and return them. If you feel that you have the time and the interest to be a councillor, don't wait for someone to ask you to stand. Approach two members and ask them to nominate and second you. Don't be bashful about putting your name forward. Another means of members exercising their democratic right is the whole process involved in the remits. If you have an idea that could improve our association, please urge your branch to formulate a remit and have it sent to headquarters before the 31st of December. The remits will then be debated and voted on at branch level, followed by your delegate having their say and their vote at the AGM. If both of these democratic activities are successful, there will be a council and an association that truly represents the majority opinion. It's all up to you. Well, that's my presidential bit for this month. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Roy. The president of NZART, Roy Simon, ZL2KH. August has been a happening time for amateur radio weekend training sessions. Recently, as a result of a Tauranga tutorial session, another five amateurs joined our ranks. North Shore Branch 29 added four amateurs just last weekend. And the Hawke's Bay Amateur Radio Club Branch 13 is holding another amateur radio training weekend on the 26th and 27th of September. Now, anyone interested in the Hawke's Bay weekend session can contact Warren ZL2AJ via email warren@zl2aj.com, or you can telephone him at 0800 219 284. 0800 219 284. Also, anyone from any other area that would like to see how it's being done in the Hawke's Bay is also most welcome to attend. And I'll let you know the outcomes of the Hawke's Bay Amateur Radio Training Weekend on the broadcast next month. Moving to news from NZRT headquarters now, here's NZRT's business manager, Debbie Morgan, ZL2TDM.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. A very genuine thank you to Taupo branch members who so determinedly set out to find the culprit of an abusive phone call made to me at headquarters. I am grateful for your support and commitment to amateur radio to make sure beggars like this are not welcome in their area if they cannot conduct themselves in the true amateur radio fashion and adhere to the code of ethics. Membership subscriptions for 2011 have now been sent out. Unfortunately, in his haste to get the template to printers, the Treasurer neglected to update the rebate amount on the form. The subscription rebate for 2011 should be $15, not $10, as advised on the invoice. My sincere apologies for the confusion. In my role here as business manager, I undertake a wide range of duties. Due to this, regrettably, I do get a bit down at times and tend to take on board some of the negativity that appears in emails and phone calls. This makes for some brisk comments occasionally here on the official broadcast, in headquarters info line, on the phone and in emails. Much of what is requested from me is available from our website, from councillors. Most branch presidents or secretaries will also have answers. If I am not available for any reason, whether it's outside of headquarters business hours or I am already on a call, please either send me an email or leave a message on the phone if you cannot find an answer from the persons I have mentioned. Finally, I would like to take this opportunity to thank all members for their continued encouragement and support. I truly appreciate it. Back to you, Jim.
And thank you, Debbie. Debbie Morgan, ZL2TDM, the NZRT Business Manager. The Manawatū Radio Society will be holding a table sale on October 2nd from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the Longburn Hall, Longburn. That's on State Highway 56 near the rail overbridge. Doors open for vendors at 8 a.m. Table costs are $20 full size and $10 for a half a table. You're asked to register before the 1st of October or tables cost $5 extra. Register to the Secretary, P.O. Box 1718 Palmerston North. P.O. Box 1718 Palmerston North. Refreshments will be available, also prize draws and raffles. Check for more details and regular updates on the ZL2KO website at www.zl2ko.org.nz. Note also that the Western Suburbs Radio Club NZRT Branch 03 will be holding a used equipment sale on Saturday the 9th of October at the Rosebank Road Primary School, 217 Rosebank Road, Avondale in Auckland. To international amateur radio news, and for an update we join the amateur radio newsline's Don Carlson, KQ6FM.
Some good news on the interference mitigation front for hams in the United Kingdom. The Radio Society of Great Britain has obtained clarification from telecommunications regulator Ofcom about the changes in responsibilities for interference investigation. In a nutshell, the position of Ofcom is that the British Broadcasting Corporation is now responsible for investigating interference affecting domestic UK television and radio broadcast reception. The Ofcom website provides some initial advice to those experiencing problems with TV and radio reception and a link to the BBC to report interference and request assistance. However, and this is very important to UK hams, Ofcom remains responsible for investigating interference to the amateur service and to broadcast services originating outside the UK. Ofcom tells the RSGB that its website is undergoing significant changes, but that the new website will make clear the division of responsibilities. It will also include a web form for reporting interference to the amateur service. In the meantime, the web form for reporting cases of abuse on amateur frequencies can also be used for reporting interference, for example, from BPL-related devices. As reported several weeks ago, an initial news release from Ofcom had stated it was turning interference mitigation over to the BBC. Because of the incomplete wording in the release, many hams in the British Isles were fearful that protecting the amateur bands from interference would no longer be an Ofcom responsibility. However, Ofcom now says that this is not the case. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Reading Club and its W3BN station serving the city of Reading, Pennsylvania. Two-way radio communications used by taxi and other motor vehicle drivers in Japan are being affected by disruptions caused by baby monitors on United States-operated military bases. Officials in Tokyo said that U.S.-purchased baby monitors used by parents on bases were emitting signals strong enough to interfere with other nearby domestic Japanese transmissions. According to the Japanese Internal Affairs and Communications Ministry, the devices emit strong signals on the same frequencies as those used for mobile telephones and other two-way radio communications in that nation. The devices have disrupted local taxi communications near bases in Okinawa, Tokyo, Kanagawa, and other areas, the ministry added. A U.S. official said the military discouraged the use of U.S.-bought baby monitors by its personnel. The U.S. has some 47,000 military personnel stationed at bases in Japan. Imagine doubling or tripling the time you can operate your HT on a single battery charge. Researchers at Austria's Institute for Chemistry and Technology of Materials of Graz University of Technology have developed a new method that utilizes silicon for lithium-ion batteries. Its storage capacity is 10 times higher than the graphite substrate which has been used up to now, and promises considerable improvements for users. In the newly developed areas, researchers utilize a silicon-containing gel and apply it to the graphite substrate material. In this way, the graphite works as a buffer, cushioning the big changes in volume of the silicon during the uptake and transfer of lithium ions. as silicon has a lithium-ion storage capacity some 10 times higher than the up-to-now commercially used graphite, the new material can store more than double the quantity of lithium ions without changes to the battery lifetime. The new findings came to light in the NanoNolibat EU project. They have recently submitted to the Patent Office by researchers together with their cooperation partner, Varta Microbattery. Two Arisat amateur radio satellites should be shipped to Russia in September, with a launch slated for January 2011. Both birds are now manifested on Progress 41P to get Arisat to the ISS. Actually, four Arisat satellites have been assembled in Orlando, Florida. The two Russian flight units are assembled, electronics are undergoing additional tests, software is close to being the final version, and the team expects to have the satellite complete and ready for vibration tests shortly. However, no date has been finalized for the vibration test to take place. According to the team building the birds, NASA has been very instrumental in getting Arisat an export license, arranging for transportation to Russia, and helping clarify how the satellites will be attached to the Progress vessel. Shipping the two satellites to Russia in September will provide enough time to install the Kursak experiment, test their battery with the satellite, and do additional tests before shipping to Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan for launch. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk, I'm Don Carlson, KQ6FM in Reno, Nevada, saying 7-3, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2010, all rights reserved.
Thanks, Don, and as always, we say thanks to Newsline for the use of their copyright material. Now, have you heard of NZARD? Yes, NZARD. That stands for New Zealand Amateur Radio Day. It's an idea promoted by Warren Harris at L2AJ in conjunction with Hawke's Bay Branch 13 to promote our hobby to the public so that some may be encouraged to join the local club, take on classes, and become amateur radio operators. It will be a national event to be held annually from 10 a.m. to midday on the third Saturday of January. It's a great opportunity for every NZART branch and radio club to publicise the event in advance and spend just a few hours promoting our hobby to the public. Full details for NZARD, New Zealand Amateur Radio Day, can be found in the news headline section on the NZART webpage, www.nzart.org.nz. Onwards to RO News, and its greetings and a very good evening to Rosemary Bosher, ZL1RO.
Thanks, Jim, and hello, everyone. The Greater Auckland Area YLs held their annual 2-metre powder puff contest recently. As usual, the scores were determined on the night of the contest, and the winning YL was Lynette ZL1LL, with Rosemary ZL1RO second, and Alison ZL1TXQ, and Derlene ZL1ULK third equal. In the OM section, Tom ZL1TO was the winner, with Cliff ZL1RP second and Elwin ZL1CCJ third. This contest has been running annually for well over 20 years and takes 2 hours on a Sunday afternoon using only 2-metre simplex frequencies. Many of the participants take handhelds or mobile rigs to an elevated location and enjoy 2 hours of fun while also promoting amateur radio to interested members of the passing public. If any groups or branches are interested in running a similar contest, I'm happy to help them get started. YROYLs met for morning tea at the recent Hamilton Market Day. They enjoyed plenty of chat together in the new warm venue, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to be there to join them. A reminder about the 80-metre YRO HF net held on Monday nights at 8 p.m. on 3695s. It's been lovely to have some of our newer members checking in regularly, and there's always room for more stations to join in. The Australian YL Alara HF contest is taking place this weekend, and there's still time to have a few contacts before it finishes very late tonight. You'll find the contest details in the latest issue of the WARO Bulletin. That's all from WARO for this month, Jim. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Rosemary. Reporting for WARO, Rosemary Bosher, ZL1RO. A note tonight from Stuart Watchman, ZL2TW, advising that the Marlborough Amateur Radio Club is organising communications again for the third Silver Fern Rally, and they're looking for mobile operators. This has to be one of the largest and most exciting communications events on the local amateur radio calendar, and runs from November 14 through to November 20. The rally starts at the Canterbury Peninsula, then heads south via coastal and inland Canterbury and down to Otago. The rally continues through central Otago and Southland as far south as Invercargill, before heading north to the finish in Queenstown, back through central Otago. Many of these stages are in some of the most spectacular backcountry of the mainland. Please note, you must be able to operate both 40 and 80 metres roadside portable using half-wave dipoles and have a 2 and 70 centimetre mobile capability. Fuel and reasonable accommodation costs will be reimbursed. The date of the event again is November 14th through to November the 20th. If you'd like to participate or need more information, please email Stuart Watchman, ZL2TW, at clearandstuart@extra.co.nz. clearandstuart@extra.co.nz. And that's the Stuart, S-T-U-A-R-T, variety. Finally tonight, it's Branch News reporting from Christchurch. Here he is, Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. From the 29er, newsletter of North Shore Branch 29 NZART. The next general meeting will be on Monday, the 6th of September, at 400 East Coast Road in Mairangi Bay, North Shore City. Graham, ZL1GMB, will give a talk on his travels to the Southern Ocean and a look at the South Georgia Islands. To the Western Suburbs Radio Club, Branch 03, where the next general meeting is on Saturday, the 11th of September, at 10 a.m, note the Saturday morning time, at the club rooms at 3000 Great North Road, New Lynn. The subject will be D-Star. From Interface, monthly bulletin of the Marlborough Amateur Radio Club, Thursday, September the 9th, is Constructors Night. What have you constructed? Come along and show the club. To Christchurch Branch 05, where the next meeting will be on the 1st of September at the clubrooms at 27 Galbraith Avenue in Avonside. Simon Lewis, ZL4PLM, will give a talk on a microwave radio introduction to the world above 1 GHz. Simon will outline equipment, bands available, station construction, operating, and how to get started. Also a note that the Christchurch Amateur Radio Club is offering the next Radio Tech Day on Sunday, the 5th of September. The idea is for students to come along for a day of building radio electronics to learn how radios work with various games and also operate some radio transmitters. The day is open to all students age 11 and up who are interested in radio technology, but no experience is needed. A parent or helper can come along too. The event is held at the club rooms at 27 Galbraith Avenue in Avonside, Christchurch, and there is plenty of car parking on site. So the date and time, 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday the 5th of September. Spaces are limited, so if you're interested, contact Rory Dean, ZL3HB, by email at rory1@extra.co.nz. That's Rory1, R-O-R-Y-1, at extra. Well, that's all from me. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Stephen. Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG in Christchurch. The next issue of NZRT Headquarters Info Line will be emailed on Sunday, the 5th of September. Now, if you've not yet subscribed for your copy of this bulletin of news from NZRT Headquarters, you can do so right now on the NZRT webpage at www.nzart.org.nz. Well, everyone, that's it. That's the official broadcast for August. The next official broadcast of NZART will be made by ZL6A at 8 p.m. on Sunday, the 26th of September. This is ZL6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, concluding the official broadcast for August 2010. Good night, everyone. Good night now.